pounds me at the sea in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, just salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. My name is Chris Jeppa.
And I'm Katie Norgren, and with us this week is a comedian, I understand a gold scientist.
Yes,
I don't know, I'm just projecting.
Pretty much, yep.
Mr. Gavin Clarkson is with us today.
Hello.
Hello.
Fantastic to be here.
Yeah, welcome to the shack.
Thank you. It's a lovely shack. There's sound dampening and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And of, like, various, like, mediums, which is pretty neat. There's, like, wood and foam and fabric.
Mm-hmm.
It's very creative.
Any kind of baffling that turns your crank, we've got it covered.
Oh, my crank hath been turned.
So I just got a real baffle fetish.
I really do.
I like to be baffled.
I do. I love being
confused and confounded.
Yeah, confused, confounded, or sound dampened, any of those things.
That's like all of my sexual history, basically.
Confused, confounded, and sound dampened.
I feel kick shamed right now, you guys.
It even had dampened
don't
in there.
Kick, which, yes,
is,
dampened.
Which is perfect.
Very
sexual history is dampened and baffled.
Oh, I like how you said dampened and then you just turned the lights off.
Yes. I'm sorry, I didn't want anyone to see what this was doing to me. No, I was just thought,
so
like,
baffling.
We haven't had the overhead light on in so long that it just looked harsh. Like, it felt like an interrogation for a second. Like, tell us where the gold is, Gavin!
Yeah, because having the lights off and one light in the corner is less like an interrogation. Interrogations are usually pretty well lit, probably.
Tell us about your family. Why have you come here?
Why have you come here to this well-lit room under our harsh lights? So we can ask you...
So cold and gray, and the sun fucking sets at 4:30, so I just wanted all the lights on to be cozy.
Oh, do you want me to turn it back on?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
This is fine.
Are you upset now?
I don't like when you guys fight.
Sorry, mummies are angry. No, we're okay.
Just got here, and you guys are fighting already, so it's definitely my fault.
It's super... Your mother and I have something to tell you.
Oh my god, you're gay. I knew it! Jimmy at school told me that my mothers were gay. I didn't want to believe him, and I bet him all of my SpaghettiOs, which I never get in my lunch.
Alright, two cans of SpaghettiOs tomorrow. I'm so sorry about all of this.
You cost me SpaghettiOs,
okay, but
moms.
You're still going to eat all of your kale and barley and stuff, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
because
if
someone has two moms, they're not just going with SpaghettiOs.
Exactly. So
there's going to be some kale chips in there.
Yeah, it's your birthday, so you can have Chef Boyardee, but
you got to sprinkle some spirulina powder on that.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to make sure you're like... fulfilling these macrobiotic requirements because I'm Gwyneth Paltrow and also gay.
We've got to compensate for all the bad energy in that Chef Boyardee can.
Yeah, you got to like realign those Boyardee chakras.
Yeah, exactly. We pack some sage in your lunchbox.
Chakra Boyardee.
We want you to do some sage cleansing after you've eaten in the classroom. It'll be lovely.
Honey, did you remember to wear your smoky quartz pendant today to school? You know it's a Thursday. That's your sad day.
You know how the planets are going right now. You know how they're not in alignment for you at all.
We are recording under a super moon. Apparently.
Is that what today's the supermoon?
I don't know. Today's like the superest of all supermoons or something?
I heard that on the radio on the way here.
Yeah.
It's the closest that the moon has been to the Earth since 1939, and it won't be like that way again until 2035. And the most special part about this is none of us will notice at all.
Yeah.
It's not going to look all that different, I imagine. Because every time...
Very cloudy.
Exactly. It's either cloudy or like every time they say that anything cool or astronomical is going to happen, and be like, look out your windows. It's going to be fabulous. Like nothing ever happens.
Uh-huh. It's
ever.
Like, oh, the moon's kind of like 2% bigger than it usually is,
exactly.
Which is not noticeable at all.
Yeah. I don't have the telescope good enough for this to matter at all. And if I had a telescope, I can make the moon as big as I wanted because I had a telescope. Like, it doesn't matter.
No, I'm not one of you fucking plebs. I can have a big moon if I want any day of the year, as long as the moon is out.
2%.
And it's night.
I'm looking at Neil Armstrong's footprints right now. Couldn't give a shit how big the moon is from your window.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty big.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. Apparently, it's going to make everybody, like, feel really energized.
Mystical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's literally, there are a few people on my Facebook feed today that are just like, okay, let's gear up for the week ahead. It's super moony.
The energies are going to be strange.
Gird your loins. I don't disbelieve in it.
I actually, someone explained to me what girding your loins actually entails recently.
Oh my god, what does it? Because I'm certain I've been using it wrong.
I can give you like a visual demonstration because I'm
so
wearing
good
a dress.
For an audio medium.
It's really good. So I'm wearing a dress, and what you do is you reach between your legs, as one does. Oh wait, it's a really short dress, so it won't work. You would pull the back of the dress up through the front, so it's like a little sumo diaper or whatever.
What?
And then you like wrap it under your legs, and then you've got, and you tuck it up, and then you've got little shorts, and your loins are girded.
What?
Yeah, that's what
that's
it's called.
Actually
it's like from back in the time when it was like, oh, I just got my tunic on. I don't know what pants are.
What the hell?
Those aren't invented yet.
At what situation would you be required to tie your dress into a diaper?
Like, outrunning a tiger of some kind?
Yeah, I think it's probably...
I'd best gird my loins against
like
this tiger.
That this comes
I'm wearing
from
my gowns and a tiger. Those things match, right? Timeline-wise.
Or if you're in like a Katy Perry video, then yes, probably.
You're not just going to hang over the tiger and not wear a hoop skirt. Like, what are you? What year is this?
God,
like,
you couldn't gird with a hoop skirt, though.
You'd you'd be fucked. That would be hula hooping.
You'd have to take all the whale bones out or whatever it was that a hoop skirt
No, I paid good money for these whale bones.
Well, how endangered
rare.
These are?
Super endangered.
This is more endangered than my piano.
What's your piano made of?
Oh, panthus.
Panthus?
Mm-hmm.
Is that
which is a cousin of the panda family.
And it's part panther?
It's part panther, yes.
Panthus.
It's a panther panda.
Well, that's what the black and white keys are made out of.
Exactly.
Different parts of the panther.
Yeah, because you need a black and white striped animal, but a panda wasn't endangered enough, and like pandas are notoriously difficult to get to mate, so we got that and a panther to get together, and that made the perfect fuzzy coating for the keys on my piano.
God, it would be so nice to, because I play piano, I've got one downstairs even, I can prove it, I've got the receipts. to be able to play with like some fuzzy soft texture.
Wouldn't it be nice?
It would be quite delightful.
And then you could be a panther pianist. You could say that as a factual thing.
Was it Pantha?
Pantha pianist.
Pantha.
Yeah.
That's just a very British way of saying panther, isn't it? Like, Paul Pantha.
It's more Australian, I would say.
Pantha.
We want to really bring race into this.
No. Oh, I'm turning 32 next year. That's the most Australian age you can be. 32.
Clearly. I bet you that's when Paul
Hogan
died.
Like, can you imagine? He's still alive.
Well, he should have died at 30.
He should have. That's probably before he made Crocodile Dundee.
It's almost certainly.
Good.
I hope it was. Otherwise, he looks terrible in those movies. It's like he was only 27 when the outback is hot on a man.
They got a lot of sun in Australia.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've been there.
People seem more leathery than...
It's like the opposite of the Yukon.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
I think.
We get lots of sun in the...
Summer.
In the summer, yeah.
But fuck you in the winter.
Oh, yeah. No, the winter can fuck itself.
Yeah.
So
sure.
The sun setting at 4:30, you're just like, whatever, this is
you.
Oh,
pussy.
Yeah.
Child's
nothing.
Play.
Nothing. In...
You think you have seasonal affectiveness disorder?
Yeah, exactly.
I stabbed the very moon.
Well, because it was so close to Earth.
It was so close.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially when you're up north, which is much closer to space.
Way closer to space. It's up. Like, if you look at a map, north is up.
North is up, which means it's much closer to space.
Yeah, NASA has no idea what they're doing. It's silly.
You're already crying?
You got me sat on, like, a giggle train with... That's so cheesy.
Toot, here it comes.
When you fucking told me that my toes looked like astronauts, and I hated it so much.
What? Chris, so you may have noticed that we're very different in stature.
Mm-hmm, yes.
That Chris is very small, and I am very tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have giant feet, and she has tiny feet. So when she's got her little socky-lockies off, she's got her little feet out.
Did you just call them socky-lockies?
I sure did, because she got tiny little feet. Mm. And I'm like, oh, your feet are so cute. They look like little astronaut helmets. She's like, what the very fuck? I was just like, look, the ground control to Major Toes. And you're like, I hate you.
I hated it so much and I couldn't stop laughing at the same time, but I like hated it. And she's like, well, but you're laughing. I'm like, it feels the same as being tickled, that visceral reaction of like, I hate this, but everyone's paying attention to me, so I like it.
All I wanted was attention.
Oh, nobody in this room knows what that is like.
You've already got me so hyper, and I've had like 3 cups of this Yorkshire Gold tea.
Yorkshire, I don't know what accent that was.
That was
like,
not going to...
We've been watching too much of The Crown lately, but that only gives us like, ew, Philip, actually, Porchy, no, my horses.
I have not seen it. It sounds very British.
Yes, well, was it the my horses part?
Yeah, no, it was definitely
Oh, mummy.
Yeah.
Oh, daddy.
grown people who are actually like the queen or the princess calling their grown mother mommy.
Mommy and papa. Mm.
Yeah, it just kind of.
Those are creepy now.
You are papa's favorite.
It is creepy.
That's not like in today's. I'm pretty sure the crown is not set in today's times, or at least I hope
it's queen, young Queen Elizabeth.
Okay. So it was like
40s, 50s,
52,
yeah.
53, okay. I think we're at.
Yeah, so still the time of like the Atlantic accent where you could say mommy and papa and you wouldn't sound like a mass murderer, because nowadays you would. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a very common accent anymore, but it's like it's somewhere between English and or like British and American almost. Like it's quite clipped relative to like the very posh English accent that we think of now.
But that sort of like East Coast, like whatever, Cape Cod shit.
Or is that like Panther?
Yeah. Yes.
That's like a panther in Boston.
And a panthers.
Oh, I was like, oh, it's a fucking panther. That's what they say I'm like in Boston. I know. I caught myself as I was like, oh, nope, that's not it.
Yep.
Oh, that's not
Jesus.
It.
H fucking crazy.
You can only do one accent. You kind of got to let yourself get away with a lot.
Yeah. It's just like a mutated Australian accent all the time. Everything that I do. But right. I do.
Ew, mummy. I'll be calm.
Mm-hmm. I can't. I've been laughing so hard that I'm sweaty, but then I take my sweater off and then I'm cold.
Yeah.
Please contain yourselves. You are the host.
We're actually not being very hostly at all.
No, we are. You got us giggling.
Sorry.
We started out.
It is completely your fault.
I know.
It's almost like you're a funny person, semi-professionally.
Clear your palates. Clear your palates. We'll all have a sip of tea. That'll be good.
Okay.
You don't actually
Please
have tea,
slurp
and that's totally
directly
fine.
Into the microphone.
But I got like a jelly donut or something really like sticky that I could eat.
Ew.
No, I would never do that. I hate the sound of my own chewing, so it's weird that I like to eat so much.
Must make it hard for you.
It's very difficult. I just cry whenever I'm eating. Like, oh, it sounds
that's
so bad.
Common.
But it tastes so good.
When you're crying and eating?
Oh, well, yeah.
I'm very good at it.
How else do people stay fit? That's just what it is.
I don't know. You tell me you're like 120 pounds.
I cry when I eat. That's how you do it.
So hard that you can't get the food in?
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty much,
like
yeah.
You choke, sob, and like have a good, hard, ugly Kim Kardashian cry every time you try to eat.
Laura, I like your methods.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that I should be able to probably adapt that to my lifestyle.
I study from the masters.
Kim Kardashian West?
Yes, exactly.
But of cows. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from, Gavin?
Oh, well, if you just asked, I'm from the Yukon. I grew up in Whitehorse until I was 18, and then I moved down to Vancouver to do school stuffs, and I did a geology degree, and I did a mining engineering degree, and a lot of my work has been based out of the classic kind of style gold mines in the Yukon, like the same guys that are mining the set, similar ways that people from the old gold rush days were.
Oh, so like they got a pan and a beard?
Yep.
Old-timey prospectors,
yeah,
I believe
exactly.
They're called.
Oh, yeah.
Cinnamon and
they
gravy.
100% exist.
That's a real guy. give me an example of a name, if you can remember, like.
Oh, they don't really go by any, there's no, like, cartoony names.
No, that's really unfortunate.
Anymore.
You should be given one, like, on your 50th birthday, like, you get into your old prospector
name. Like, when you've sold a certain amount of gold, you get assigned something. Like, because all I can think of is, like, Soapy Smith, and he died, like, 1900. Soapy Smith was the most notorious criminal in the Gold Rush era. And then there was, like, Dawson Charlie, George Carmack. It was like, those are just normal names. Like, they aren't anymore because they're named after places. But yeah, Soapy Smith is the main one I can think of.
Soapy Smith.
Diamond Tooth Gertie.
That's a good one.
Well,
yeah. I knew about Diamond Tooth Gertie.
She's notorious.
Yeah, she is. And the only existing, I think it's the oldest operating casino is Diamond Tooth Gertie's in Dawson City.
That
and
sounds
oldest
great.
Operating casino in
I 100% want to go there. And instead of being paid in money, I want to be paid in gold nuggets.
You should. You can. If you like, it's really, it's like a novelty now. It's not like people go around exchanging gold nuggets with each other, but because mining is such a big part of Dawson City, it can be done.
When you get to Dawson City and you get off the plane, or I have to assume train, just because like, and you get onto, it's basically Westworld, and you get onto like the wood platform, and then at what point do you start hearing the eerie player piano music?
What's that? Oh, at the downtown hotel, they do that at like 4 o'clock every single day.
At PM?
What's that? Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, 4 a.m, they start doing the old timing music.
The Starbucks opens and the piano music starts.
No Starbucks, they're very firm on that.
Wooden
sidewalks and no Starbucks.
So they do have wooden sidewalks.
They do. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, they keep, like, there's a whole fund to keep Dawson City looking old school and old timey. So it's got like the old big square false fronts that you would see.
Keep
in,
our
like,
ghost
Westworld
town alive.
Exactly. Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much.
Oh, I want to be the mayor of this town. Oh, so good. I just like, I need something like for being a broad-shouldered broad, you know?
I was
going to
say,
like,
you're pretty broad.
To, like, just like give me like an old-timey dress and I'll rip the sleeves off. Yeah. And I'll just like deedly dee 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 dee.
Then you'd be an excellent bordello runner. Like, I think that would be exactly your piece.
I should have been like a late 1800s.
Madam,
proprietress. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
I would just be like, oh, excuse me, I'm going to go smoke opium for just a moment.
Do you think madams, like, worked up their rungs of prostitution, or, did, like, that's below them, and they just kind of bought the establishment?
I think, you know what, it's as unique as a fingerprint.
Not all prostitutes can break through that glass ceiling.
Everyone's got their diversity of experience, so I'm sure that all madams have a very complex and multifaceted backstory.
You can't just fit a madam in a box.
No, certainly not.
I knew a madam.
Did you?
Yeah, she was in a, she was notorious in Vancouver. So her name was Scarlett, so there's that.
Oh, that's good.
That's definitely her Christian name.
Yeah. That's exactly how she, like.
They took one look at her, they're like, oh yes.
Yeah, you're gonna be Scarlett, you're gonna be a madam.
But she ran like a straight up brothel in Vancouver for a while.
Oh, okay.
And then she was taking this, when my mom was involved in the Landmark Education Forum cult, they did all these like training, it's like leadership training, and you learn how to like be an effective communicator and be a really authentic. They basically learn all this language and then you have to pay money to get to the next level, etc. My mom's been through the ranks of many a scheme of that sort. I love her. She's very susceptible to
pyramid marketing.
To levels. Yeah, she likes leveling up, especially if you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, your mom would be great in Scientology.
Yeah. Well, you know.
That's where it's leading
never
to.
Say never. But so we went down to California with the Landmark Forum, and we shared a hotel room with Scarlett the Madam, so I got to hear some stories.
Yeah.
Sort of. I was like 14 or 15.
Fantastic time to start.
Right, exactly. And so she basically was there to like learn more business savvy, to be like, I want to be, you know, I'm a legitimate businesswoman. I've been running my own business for a long time.
Yeah.
None of my skills I could really put on a resume.
Yeah.
What do you do? Human resources.
I understand like there's a lot of business running in that, but I think you're stretching it a bit when you're a bordello running. You're like, yeah, I'm a legitimate business person. It's like, I think by definition, it's not.
She ran like a body house, which is just now not illegal. Didn't they strike that down? But then they put new laws in place that are just as bad or worse.
Oh,
so.
I don't.
Is there a loophole?
That all came out after I finished my degree in gender studies. I was like, I don't need to always have a Google alert for this anymore.
Yeah. I worked on a sex work study, but I was mostly working with women that were, like, street level, like, just independent workers, basically, and didn't have any kind of structure or even, like, social network, really, with a lot of other workers. So
basically, like,
to
sexual Uber drivers.
lots of the Craigslist.
Oh, there's an app market.
Well,
I'm sure it exists.
That's basically any dating app is basically
it's back
a lot
page,
of
pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, I don't know, I totally am all for the business savvy of somebody, like, working on their own.
Didn't we just, we were like, how do you become a madam? Then we're like, well, you know, probably these steps. We take questions very seriously here on the CX podcast.
I don't know, because I don't want to disparage her, like, work and all of that kind of stuff as well. But at the same time, it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
She's just like, oh, legitimate but like, I just.
She, yeah, did she get a mug that says world's greatest madam?
That's what madam said.
Her business got shut down, though, and it was in the paper, and it was this whole big thing, because she was just like, it's safer for everyone to be working in my place as opposed to out on the street, so there was this big debate, and anyway, she was like the kingpin of this whole, like, East Vancouver
Scarlett
scene.
The kingpin.
Yeah.
We gotta write a song about her.
Very interesting. Don't say that, because we're gonna have to do it. If you say it on the podcast, we have to do it.
We're gonna have to write a song about Scarlett the Madam.
Okay. In the style of Tom Waits or something.
Oh,
like
God,
that.
Yeah, of course. I'm just gonna turn in Christmas card from a hooker in Minneapolis. Yeah. Like, that's just what's gonna happen.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
But that would be the third CHEG song, I think. So that's on you. That's your wheelhouse. So you just get to that, and I'll see that on my desk in the morning.
Okay, sure.
And if you don't have it done, turn in your gun and your badge. Which is just like a starfish and a piece of driftwood. Little astronaut toes.
Fuck off.
You guys are adorable.
Oh, this is too much giggling today. Oh, my God.
So anyway, that's the worst. Dawson City.
Dawson City.
What is that? There was some Gold Rush game that you could play, and it was like, Dawson City, welcome to the... And you'd have to, like, load up on all your supplies, and then...
Yeah.
It was sort of like Oregon Trail.
Yeah, it
Gold
was.
Rush.
We had that in schools, and I remember it as a kid. It was, it was like an old Windows... Oh, like probably even pre-95-ish. It was like 24-bit graphics or something like that. And yeah, and you had to like go to Dai and get all your stuff together and pick which partner you'd go up the trail with.
Yeah.
And the best part was like there'd be a little, one of the parts of the game is you're climbing the Chilkoot Trail, which is notoriously one of the most difficult trails ever. And it would just be show your feet walking and the progress on the trail because it was a really old game. And every once in a while, your partner would fall and break his leg and be like, do we rest or do we push on? You always pushed on. Screw that guy. You've got places to be. You're running out of food. You're not going to run down back to Dai and play a shooter game again.
Chill for 6 weeks while his bone knits.
Yeah, exactly. What a waste of time. I don't know you.
Just kill old Soapy and chuck him off the cliff.
Exactly.
And the... probably eat him. Like, don't just, let him go to waste. I don't know.
Wait, was it you who corrected my understanding of the cremation of Sam McGee online?
Yeah, that was definitely me.
Wait, what? Fuck That's off. When I remember, so my aunt lived in Whitehorse for a long time.
Okay.
So we used to go up and visit her, and she would come down here, and that was one of the big pieces like that she would always bring back, and we'd read the creation of Sam McGee like as a family for Christmas.
Yeah.
It was so fun.
And all get together and just enjoy the fantastic works of Robert Goddamn Service.
I know, and the beautiful paintings of Ted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love those.
Nugent?
No.
Yeah. Ted Nugent.
No. Is it Ted Hansen?
I can never remember the name. I know which
painting the beautiful Yukon artist, man.
Tom Thompson?
No.
Oh, Yukon artist. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was like, I was just thinking Canadian artist.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you say about the cremation of Sam McGee that
Dana oh,
just
that
you?
Just that I said something about how, like, just, like, set yourself on fire and be dead, or, like, talk to a dead guy or whatever, and you're like, spoiler alert, he was not dead the entire time. Yeah. I'm like, but he could have been.
The point of the
depending
poem.
On the interpretation.
Sam McGee definitely, there wasn't even a, that's the thing.
He could have been
Service,
a ghost.
I hate Robert Service just so much. It's just so.
Is it just so overplayed up?
Yes,
it's
because
probably
in,
how yes.
In elementary school, I had a teacher in grade 3 who was wonderful, fantastic. But every year we would put on an assembly, and the grade 3 class would do a play of one of Robert Service's poems. So the amount of times that I've heard the cremation of Dan McGee, Sam McGee, and then the shooting at Dan McGrew. See,
there you go.
And that's where I was coming from. The amount of times that I've heard those three
in
particular, too much. It's overwhelming up there, and he's not. Great. He's really not great, and I know he's not great because I've seen his limericks pasted all over every building in Dawson City, and they're not nice. There's always a mess up in the rhythm or the wording, and there's always he always misses one friggin' beat, and it drives me insane.
That would drive me crazy. Limericks are very standard.
They are, exactly.
Like are you the Salieri to his Mozart?
Yeah, exactly. He's not. He's, it's like
mediocrity's everywhere.
He's like the only person that knew how to write in the Gold Rush era, and we've been celebrating him for 130 goddamn years.
I gotta go somewhere where there's nobody who's good at writing, and then be like, okay, he was the best writer at this, I don't know, Baker's conference or
Africa
something.
Africa is probably a good place.
Well, I think that they probably got some pretty good poets there. It's just they're writing in, like, Swahili.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's go somewhere where the literacy rate is very low, and then go to the rural areas, and then you can become the next
Robert
Service.
Maybe the greatest
Service.
Poet at Abbotsford.
Yikes.
This is like a mission's greatest poet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, somebody's gonna be like, actually, I'm Mission's greatest poet, and come out here and fight me. There's a train.
Hey, if you're
challenge you to a poet battle.
If you're Mission's greatest poet, we want to have you on the podcast. Email us at chagspodcast@gmail.com.
We'd better send your application as a poem,
and one of
or you will not be considered.
And one of your poems, too, just to prove it.
Just double poem. Just give us two poems.
Yeah, minimum. And then somebody else's poem so that you can prove that yours is better than theirs.
Just find a really shitty poem, perhaps the cremation of Sam McGee.
Exactly. Because there's no subtlety in that. Like, back to that point, he wasn't dead, and there's no room for interpretation because he was very direct. Like, he didn't do subtlety or metaphor or anything. It's just like, this thing happened, now it rhymes, what a fun and happy time. That was like every Robert Service poem ever.
That's so true.
That's also, it. P.S., it's real cold up here.
Yeah, exactly. It's cold, we're gold mining, and that's everything
that
is here.
Cold and gold rhyme. He must have done that so many times.
Such a goddamn genius.
And I'm wearing a bear. Just as a cloak.
Wilderness is Hard by Robert Service.
Oh, God, that's all of Canada's art. Period. Like, that's just it. That's all we have. What am I thinking about?
Are you thinking of Hatchet?
Hey, I love Hatchet. No, Gary Paulson's my shit.
No, I know, but that's
that
wilderness
is, yeah.
is Hard. It's
like,
that's the thesis.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Someone is in the wilderness, and it's hard. And that's most Canadian literature and songs and poems.
Yeah. Even though the majority of us live in cities very close to the U.S. border.
I figure, like, your issue with Robert Service is probably very similar to my dislike of the paintings of Emily Carr.
Mm.
Emily Carr can suck an egg. I don't like her dumb paintings.
Yeah, I like that
it looks like she squeezed it out with a toothpaste tube. It's just so creamy and squishy. I don't like it.
The perspective, Katie, it's like she's lying underneath and looking up at the stars through the branches. And
I could do that. I could lie down on the ground and look up.
Yeah,
but
I've
women weren't allowed to lie down on the ground and be fanciful at that time. So
this is true. You could see up
also, she's a whimsical
there.
Bitch, is what you're telling me.
She had a fucking pet monkey or something that
oh,
she walked
she's
around
really
on
the extra.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Why don't you move to Williamsburg, Emily Carr?
She was like the most... She sounds insufferable. Sounds... Like, it's, she had a pet monkey and she paints, I already hate you no matter who you are. If you fill up
she
those
two...
She
played a ukulele with her feet?
Yeah, exactly. If you play a weird instrument or a paint or own a non-standard pet, I hate you forever already.
Oh, no, Katie. Oh, no, you're all of those
what
things.
What pet do you own, Katie?
I have pet rats.
Rats? Yeah.
That's kind of
I
a just, weird
I
thing.
Mean like an iguana or something. Or
oh, like,
an
Jackie,
owl.
Like Jackie Cation? Yeah. Oh, an owl would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I always wanted a pet raven, and then I would...
That'd be the coolest.
Yeah,
animal
but then I would need
possibly.
To hate myself, because I'd own one of those pets.
Mm-hmm. Yes, then you'd be like, oh, I guess I better fucking could, start painting.
You could teach the raven how to say, like, you're a loser or
something. Yeah, exactly.
Like
don't touch me.
Get out of here, you goth bastard.
Never. If I had a raven, I would only teach it to say nevermore, yeah. Because that's the only thing you should teach a raven to
or
say.
Or never mind.
Never
mind.
so close.
That's a. That's actually a bit in American Gods by Neil Gaiman. Is like the protagonist is being pursued by one of Odin's ravens, like Hugin or Mjörgin or whatever the fuck their names are. It's like whoever you are, mm-hmm. Say nevermore. Fuck off. The bird replied. Just like, that's Neil Gaiman for sure.
You know that video of the little old lady who lives somewhere and she's got the few pet ravens and she shows up at some cliffside sanctuary?
Yeah, she's in the England or something.
And she's got
so
these two
even
pet...
though you are naughty, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, her.
She's got, yeah, two pet ravens. Can you explain it better than me?
Yeah, she basically, like, goes... She,
I like that we have
she
some of the pieces.
Either goes to, like, the tower or to, like... Or she's in Scotland or something, but she basically... Or she's in the north, I think. She's got, like, a northern accent. And she's got these ravens, and she takes them, and she's, like, wearing fucking chainmail and shit. And there's just a vine of her, like, kissing one of her ravens on the beak, going, like, oh, even though you are naughty, I still love you.
Because, like, the one raven steals stuff from tourists.
Oh, my
like,
God,
takes their
amazing.
Takes their dollars and, yeah. And cameras and things. Just, like, steals their shit, their keys.
Yeah. Oh, what a wacky little, raven
what
that
a
hasn't
wacky little...
totally been trained to do that.
Like, hey, are you strong enough to go fetch my ukulele for me? I've got a song to sing about this, and it's going to be cute. It's going to be twee as shit.
And she's playing the ukulele with one raven on her shoulder, meanwhile the other one's stealing everyone's wallets.
Yeah, exactly. This is a con woman.
It's a tax on,
it's not a
on
neat...
whimsy.
A raven can't recognize things of value. It doesn't care. That's trained attitude for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think they might know things that we don't think they know.
So the ravens in fucking Whitehorse are big, hey?
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah, there's not... You guys just have crows down here. You don't have ravens. You don't even know what a raven looks
we
like.
We have ravens on the Sunshine Coast.
Oh, do you?
But the ones in Whitehorse,
they're
I went
enormous.
And it was just like, what the fuck is that? I remember, like, getting off the plane...
It's like a black pelican.
Yeah, yeah. Like, getting a ride to... My aunt was staying at the college for a while, and so we were staying with her in the dorms, and I was, like, walking down a street, and I was like... What is that huge bird? And it was really far away. And it was still really fucking huge. And she's like, oh, it's a raven. I'm like, no wonder.
Yep.
Like, so much of the mythology is like, oh, the raven is this, like, trickster, like, god, because they're fucking huge.
Yeah,
and they're really,
like
vocal.
Chicken-sized, or?
No, bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah.
They're so scary.
Oh, actually, you know what I did see? I saw, like, a stuffed one at the biology department at SFU for one of their events. They, like, just have these taxidermied birds on a table.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well, this is my jam. I'm basically Lydia from Beetlejuice, so. But they've got, like, and it was stretched out pretty far. It was, like, next to an eagle or something. I'm like, that's almost eagle size.
Yeah,
yep. That's a big boy.
Yeah, they could be enormous
That's
birds.
A big boy.
Yeah.
Very big. Speaking of eagles and Whitehorse in the north, we have an eagle cam. We got one of those eagle nests by the Yukon River, and it has a webcam that you can tune in at all times, except this summer or the last summer, I can't remember, it had to be turned off for a few hours, because Mother Eagle had found somebody's chihuahua, and the babies were eating it.
Oh, I heard
so
about that.
Somebody tuned in to the family fluffy pet.
I think it was a cat, actually.
Was it a cat?
I think it was a cat.
Oh,
yeah.
It was some small animal that was fulfilling the natural order.
People were very upset
off.
About it.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
Like, they gotta eat.
Yeah. Well,
keep your cats inside.
Keep your cats inside. Get a dog that's big enough to not be carried away if you have it.
Or if you have a dog that's small enough to be carried away, tie it to a larger dog.
Exactly.
Get it a buddy.
Follow the buddy system.
Put a baby Bjorn on the larger dog and then put the small dog inside that.
Or where they have the little sidecar?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. See?
The panniers.
You need an anchor buddy.
Yeah.
Go with your buddy.
We're going on eagle lockdown.
It's like Katie and I, when we walk down the street, I have to tie myself to her so an eagle doesn't scoop me up.
She has to hold my hand so she doesn't get lost. She's a borrower.
Yeah. Yes, as long as you have someone to keep you from getting scooped up by predators, that's just kind of the best way
That's really just what I'm doing for everyone, is I'm sturdy enough to keep them from snatched up.
Keep them grounded.
Man, how long you lived in the Yukon until you came down here for university?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like your whole childhood, basically. Yep.
Yeah,
what was that like?
Grew up the whole day.
I just remember going up to visit a lot, and it just seemed so strange. And like,
It's a lot of outdoor stuff. It's all, a lot of like summers camping and stuff like that. Yeah, there isn't too much in the downtown. There's two fantastically terrible movie theaters, which are the grossest in the world, and they don't know. They don't. It's been in the papers multiple times about how we need to do something about these goddamn movie theaters. Nothing ever gets done. They don't know what a pressure washer is, apparently. So there's the floor is just sticky goodness.
Just an ooze. Yeah, just a sludge.
It's just an ooze for sure. Yeah. And like, it's just, and not even like, when you're in a small town like that, there's not many places for teenagers to go and hang out, so they definitely go to the movie theater. So it's not just butter on that floor. There's a lot of experimentation that's been building up in layers.
Gnarly.
All over that.
Gross.
So that's why you need a pressure washer in small town theaters like that.
Are you a pressure washer salesman?
What's that?
You seem to be really like,
if you're from the Yukon, please call.
Please call Gavin's Pressure Washers at 1-888-238.
We specialize.
Warsh. Warsh.
Warsh.
Goofy.
Comes with a free panther.
Panther. Panther. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of outdoors camping and hiking, snowboarding, stuff like that. We have a nice little ski hill there. That is always losing money because the winters aren't very. Their winters are long, but not productively long.
Yeah, it's not like snowy or anything.
No.
It's
just desolate.
Like, yeah, just like cold and it gets slushy and
how
there's not enough snow.
How cold does it get in the summer, in the winter?
Typically we'll have at least a week, 2 weeks of minus 45. Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit like Saskatchewan.
It is. Our winters aren't that brutal. Like compared to, they're longer, but compared to like a lot of the interior and like
the
Ontario
prairies.
And prairies and stuff like that.
We just get a lot of
snow. We don't get
shit.
The storms. Yeah, we don't get the storms. We get just as cold, but maybe not even as much. Like, there's a lot
but
of...
More dark.
Yeah, there's a lot more dark, which is a lot more depressing.
More and dark, less cold.
Yeah, more dark, less cold, longer cold, which...
Long cold.
That's the slogan of Yukon Territory.
Yeah, exactly. More dark, less cold, long cold. Please visit and buy some Robert Thurveth merchandise.
And get a free gold.
Yeah, get some free gold.
It's just in the ground. Just take it.
It is. We had to, like that.
Just take it, you pussy.
The Yukon is such a...
Take that gold.
Such a depressing place that we had, literally I had to have free money available on all over the ground for people
just
to come
get
to.
It.
And that was
just
the only thing.
Yeah. Dig in, bud.
There's free money everywhere. Just come up here and colonize.
Pull it out. Oh, no.
Well.
Done. Fuck.
That's a thing.
So, you moved down here. Have you moved back at all, or have you just been down here since you were 18?
I've been down here since I was 18. I go up in the summers a lot for work, because the placer mining is the type of gold mining that the old school guys do. It just means the mining of gravel.
Okay.
So they do creek beds and stuff like that. So placer mining gets shut. They need water, and they need free running water. So that it gets shut down.
Can't do that in the winter.
Yeah, exactly. It freezes up, everybody goes home.
Right.
So that's kind of the limit of where the majority of my work and money making is.
Just in the summer then?
Yeah, mostly in the summer.
Jesus Christ, you had an insane summer then.
Yeah, it's busy.
You did. What did you do? So you worked this summer, you won a comedy competition this summer, and you got married.
Yes, exactly.
And you managed to do all those things. And a lot of those things happened like within the same 2 weeks.
Yeah, within like a month. It was a pretty good summer. Yeah.
And now you're just cruising on down.
He's like the absolute only person I know that's had a good 2016, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
The only person.
Well, my now wife was a huge Bowie fan, so that hit us very hard.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
And I mean, I was out for like a week with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
I went to work, but only my body.
Yeah. That's how all of us were.
It was really bad, but then it just kept getting worse.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
so
what?
We're recording this right after presidential election, and then Leonard Cohen died as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just to add a little more salt into the...
I feel like he was watching the news and was like, nope.
I'm not too concerned because...
This must be the end of love, and you've danced me here, so bye!
I'm not too concerned because I'm not only a white male, but I also specialize in gold, and he just loves that crap. He puts it on everything.
This
so, like,
Donald Trump?
Yeah.
I thought you meant Leonard Cohen.
No.
I was like, that's racist.
Also a gold fan.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Leonard Cohen dying. I'm white. It doesn't matter to me at all.
I'm white.
But yeah, in terms of your prospects of your industry is just going up and
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Right.
He's going to want to plate everything.
He's going to have the whole house. The whole thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Go from white to gold.
Make America plated again.
Really, fuck you. Fuck.
Plate all of it. Gold
fuck
foil.
You,
gold
sir.
Leaf. The entire United States needs to look like Versailles.
Fuck you.
Oh, dear Lord.
I made a rhyme.
It's so scary.
I'm as good as Robert Service.
As good. Yeah, at least. You woke up this morning as good,
as
or
good
better
Robert.
Than
exactly.
Robert Service.
That's something that everybody listening to this can really take to heart. You woke up as good as Robert Service
if
this
not
morning.
Better.
If not better. Almost certainly better.
If you've put one rhyme scheme together that actually has
if you've
good
even
meter,
put,
you're good.
If you put pen to paper, if you filled out a Scantron in your existence, you're better than Robert Service.
Oh, Scantrons.
Yeah, because at least B, C, and D rhyme.
Hey, they do. What do you even do when you get that A in there?
What's that? Well, you gotta break up the rhyme scheme at some point. It's how you get creative.
Da 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 da.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't taken a test in a while.
I forget the rhythm.
Is this how you do a test? Is you clap very arrhythmically?
Depends what class you're in.
Weird clapping class?
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
But cute rhythm. Like when you were in kindergarten, you did all the rhythms. Ta ta, ti ti ta ta ta. Don't you remember?
Did you go to some sort of crazy music academy?
I did not. This is just my little elementary school in Gibson.
All I remember about elementary school is teaching people to tie their shoes for them.
Oh.
That's the only thing I can remember.
You were the first one?
Yeah. And they're like, all right, you're going to do it now.
That's like the childhood equivalent of being the first one with a driver's license.
I was also that.
Aw, you're always the one in service.
Very Robert Service. I'm very responsible. I was just like, okay, nobody wants to take care of me, so I better figure out how to do this stuff. Sounds dark, but it's not. It's fine.
Well,
yeah, self-sufficiency. It's good.
Yeah, it is.
It's good. What do you get to do in the winter, like up in North times?
In the North times.
in the dreaming times.
Back in the North times, before the warmth came.
Long, long ago.
Yeah, exactly. We would do, there was the ski hill there, so there'd be a bunch of snowboarding. Snowmobiling was another popular one. My dad had an old Tundra 2 that I would take out with my friends who had much better, faster machines. And then I'd go home alone, so that was lovely. but yeah, so it was a lot of winter sports. And then, Christ, I can't even remember how the rest of the days were filled, because that's only a portion of it. And the day is very short. You only have sunlight. Like, full sunlight for maybe 2 hours of the day, and then an hour on either side of, like, twilight, and
oh,
then it's
God.
Dark. So, like, if you get to work or school, it's pitch black, and you leave work or school, it's pitch black. Mm-hmm. So there would definitely be that. And then there would be a lot of... I listened to the Eminem Show album a lot in high school. I think that's how I passed most of my time.
Just with your Discman?
Yeah, so exactly.
Sitting in a dark house, whatever.
Yeah.
Just...
Well, my first album was the Lord of the Rings Twin Towers soundtrack. So, you know, I had a lot of exploring to do musically.
That follows.
Exactly.
If you'd asked me, like, look at me, Katie, what do you think the first album is that I bought? It wouldn't have been like, oh, definitely A Tribe Called Quest or something.
No, it wasn't at all. It was definitely the Twin Towers soundtrack. And I'm like, I enjoy these orchestral arrangements. I wonder what this white rapper does.
Just like a very natural progression.
It really is.
You have lots and lots of time to progress through that.
I've heard some people say about, like, Weird Al being a gateway musical artist for children, because it's like, oh, this is really cool music. I love it. I wonder what it would be like if it wasn't about baloney.
Yeah.
And that's how you, like, get into real, like, real musicians. He's very much a real musician.
Oh, for sure.
I'll defend Weird Al till I die.
Finally got his Grammy.
Yes. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Was it for Polka or for something else?
For the newest record.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good record.
Fun.
Yeah. That's a good record.
It's fantastic.
I like that Weird Al.
It's great.
I like that Weird Al gentleman. A little boy. He's a nice fella.
A funny little man.
I think he's going to go places.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to what you do, Weird Al.
Yeah, isn't it great how he just looks exactly the same age as he did in, like, 1986?
He really does. Like, he never looked very good, but, you know,
no.
He's looked the same the
There's
entire
There's something
time.
About just, like, looking like you're 40 when you're 20. You're like, oh, this is bad when I'm 20.
Yeah.
But then when you're 60 and you still look like you're 40, you're like, oh, this actually worked out pretty good for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, like your Captain Jean-Luc Picard's or whatever, because he was just like, oh, I look very old very suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's just cruised with that for the last 40
Forever.
Years. Mm-hmm. He's got a wife that's like a couple years older than me. Like, kind of gross, but good job also.
Well, they seem well matched.
Yes, absolutely.
Exactly.
He calls her my lady.
I have a white horse question for you.
Uh-huh.
Do you know the blind goat farmer?
Yeah. I don't know him personally, but I know his story.
Yeah, so that was my aunt's boyfriend for a long time.
What? Really? Good lord.
Yeah.
Oh, no way.
So there's a guy named Brian, mm-hmm. and he was a goat farmer, and he was blind, and he lived on the shores of Lake LaBarge, yep. which is why the cremation of Sam McGee was very...
It is, on the marge of said lake.
Yes, indeed. And he had all these, like, systems of weird ropes and pulleys all over his property where he could, like... And every single goat had a different sounding bell, so he knew which bell... Or, sorry, which goat? I'm getting confused now.
I don't know where I am. One of you, please.
Pray. Somebody ring.
Yeah, but then, like, he had, like, different ropes all over everywhere. He could, like, find his way down to the water and then, like, crack open the ice, get some water, make a bath. I'm referencing the CBC documentary that was made, which we had to watch all the time because my aunt was in it.
They made a documentary about him?
Him, yeah, the blind goat farmer. He was quite a
Is that
a
what
dude.
It's called?
I don't think so. It was just, like, one of those CBC,
it'd
like...
A bit on the nose as a title.
But there was, like, this image that just sticks in my mind of him having a bath with a fire lit under it, like right on the shore in the in the snow,
making blind goat farmer soup.
And so my sort of weird, which I may have said something about this on the podcast before, but when I went to Whitehorse when I was 15, I was walking down the street and he was walking towards us, and we were like,
and you tried waving and then regretted it for the rest of your life.
We were like, Brian, he's like, oh, Christina, recognized my voice right away. I hadn't seen him since I was 8.
Wow.
And he was like, oh, you've grown so much. Like, it's so nice to see you. Like all these things. And I was just like, incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's a pretty nice dude.
He's got some fucking goats. He sounds great.
He was a gentle soul.
Yep.
Made a lot of goat milk and, I don't know.
what else are you going to do?
Goat milk. But, like, I don't know, this rugged blind dude just, like, living out on the...
It sounds very romantic.
It does.
It does.
Yeah. Honestly. So that was my favorite. Yeah, I should find a link to that documentary if it's somewhere.
Goat farmer. I'm sure he doesn't like being referred to, like, I'm not blind first, guys.
Yeah.
I'm all about the goats.
Hey, well, the blind thing keeps overcoming how great of a goat farmer I am.
I'm the best at goats. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be.
Like, hardy and rugged, and, like, I definitely romanticized the Yukon because of that, and my aunt would come down and tell us stories, oh, all this stuff, you know, like, people are just so amazing and so enterprising, and then she would go up and, like, house sit. She's never really rented, like, paid money for rent her whole life.
Okay.
She just house sits everywhere.
Yeah.
She would go up to the Yukon, and she would house sit in people's, you know, vacation cabin that they'd use in the summertime.
Yeah.
And she would house it for the whole long winter.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what is this rugged romantic? Like, what does that look like? She's like, I listen to the radio and I make dolls all winter.
And I think of murder.
I make murder dolls.
She writes a lot of, like, very meandering poetry with, like, weird watercolors and, like,
Oh, just... yeah, she sounds very Yukon. Yeah. Yep. There's a huge subset of the population like that. We call them the colorful 5%. And it's basically... Like, the colorful 5% are just completely insane
people. They wear those toe shoes in the summer.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh, the worst.
And it's just, like, really isolating, right? Yeah. It's like, I go up there very to isolate outdoorsy. To be with my thoughts and just, like, make little weird weavings and then, like,
I make my dolls.
Yeah, I just sit and I make my dolls.
She makes felt dolls and, like, she's like, they're not of anyone I know, but they're people I'm gonna meet.
That's the most terrifying thing I think I've ever heard.
So, your aunt is a curse. She is a cursed.
Like, I would have been scared if she said they're people I know, but I'm way more scared that they're people I'm going to meet.
And then kill.
Oh, God.
Sorry,
I know,
auntie.
I know their weaknesses.
She won't listen to this.
She doesn't know how to work a computer.
She walks around with a tote bag full of CDs and a Discman, and that's how she passes
I
her.
Love
that's
her.
That's terrific.
It's pretty
She
great.
Probably gets DVDs from the library.
She does. To be fair, my mom does too. We watch two of them on
no,
the weekend.
No, I think it's fantastic. Past guest Jen Clark, she gets them all the time from, she's like, oh, guess what I got at the library today? I'm like, tell me everything. But I saw that guy doing that at the liquor store. Like, I just went to buy a bottle of wine and I'd just come from the library and he, like, just plunked his DVDs down and was, like, buying his beer.
Nice.
He's like, I got a big night ahead of me.
He's gonna have a weekend.
He is. He had, he had one season of Downton Abbey.
Ooh.
I think he had, like, a John Madden football highlights thing. He's very multifaceted.
What an interesting combination.
And I'm trying to remember the other thing. I think it was How I Met Your Mother.
What kind of beer was he buying?
Lucky Lager?
Yeah. Oh, that lines up perfectly.
Okay. I was like, why do I have this eidetic memory for this man?
Yeah. This is very interesting.
This is a fully fleshed out character.
I truly notice people, which is maybe terrifying.
When they're noticeable.
Yeah, I mean, ask me anything about anyone, I'm going to tell you what I think of them.
I mean, that's not...
Fantastic, very good.
What you think of them is kind of
What do you think of your co-host? Let's hear the honest thought.
No, I think she's the best. No. I love her. She's got cute little toes.
That's not where I went at all. Yeah. That's not where I wanted to go.
No, you're not going to get the dirt out of us.
We don't have that
much. We're too mutually supportive. It's sickening.
Yeah, it's like any dirt I have on you, you've got just as much on me. Mm-hmm. It's like, which people are we occasionally irritated by? That's like as deep as it goes.
That's really anyone's dirt these days, isn't it? Pretty much. We're not interesting enough to go much deeper than that.
Yeah, it's like someone's feelings would probably get hurt a little if Secret's box was cracked open. But that's
couldn't handle
it.
That.
Yeah.
It would be pretty bad.
You'd avoid talking to them.
I'm afraid. Oh no, yeah. The secret vault. We've loosed the straps. We've opened it.
I had a horrible dream. Not even that horrible, but I woke up with a start last night because I dreamed that I had forgotten to return something to someone. Like, it was like I had borrowed, I think it was a cello. And so I, like, that I had.
Of course you did.
That I had got. Is that
of
a weird.
Of course.
Is that a weird enough instrument that you're hating me? Or
if
is
you
that,
got an iguana, we wouldn't talk.
I don't have any pets at all.
Good,
so
fantastic.
No, I'm staying on the right
you're
side of Gavin Clarkson.
One of the facets.
Beautiful. I'm going to keep the cello. It's a classy instrument. I don't think
it is.
Weird.
Cello is. It's one of the ones. There's a few different instruments. Like, the guitar you can be okay at and still look cool. The cello, like, nobody looks cool practicing the cello, but when you're good at it, you are the coolest person in the world. Like, the cello is. Such
she's
a
very good
neat,
at it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah,
pretty,
see?
Pretty great.
There's a lot of things that I wish I'd done as a kid and just buckled through, like learn an instrument, except to be fair, in elementary school, I was dying to learn the accordion. And my parents forbid it because they're just like things are hard enough for
no,
you.
No, we
already.
Want grandchildren one day.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're already wearing suits to school. We're not
that's
giving you an accordion.
Basically, the accordion is pretty much just like a virginity force field
exactly.
That is very hard to clear away.
Yeah, exactly. Are you gay? It's okay if you're gay. You're not playing the accordion. Like we're fine with gay, not fine with the accordion.
The accordion's making a comeback, man. Vancouver's got a thriving accordion scene.
But they're all assholes.
I am in an accordion band.
God damn it.
And they are. Kind of all
assholes. Yeah, it's true. It's
true. Were you gonna get the accordion?
No, but just this is the signet ring that I got from the accordion festival, which has an
accordion. Oh my god!
I actually
this just smells so pretentious. The whole welcome to the accordion club.
They don't let you in the event unless you show up on a penny farthing.
With plenty of wax in your mustache.
Yes, even if you don't have a mustache.
Yeah.
Just slap wax on there.
Yeah.
I love the, like, I felt a bit bad because, like, I'm in an accordion band. I'm just like, oh, I just, like, called you horrible, insufferable people. And then you gave me the membership ring for the accordion festival.
No, feel free to mock. I'm an adjunct member. I play the cello in that band, so I'm, like, it's a jug band with accordion.
Oh, sweet Christ.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
All the creaking planks, like, they're pretty big in
town.
Oh,
my God. So, I can already picture every single band member.
You're 100% correct. I promise.
They wrote the theme song for this podcast. Well, I wrote the theme song, but the creaking planks played it. So
fantastic.
You're actually accordion adjacent by being on this show.
Nice.
There's going to be accordion music and then your voice. How do you feel about that?
That would explain the taste in my mouth. I've had it.
This is blood from biting the back of your tongue. Guys, can we take a very short break?
Sure. So while Katie was downstairs,
not
doing anything, I was regaling Gavin of all the things that my accordion player friend does, and basically,
this needs a content warning before you even start.
Oh, I'm not going to describe it at all because it was too. I just really, really loved watching you squirm.
Oh.
I just named yet another thing and yet another thing, and he was in pain. I found your kryptonite.
Describing a most painful subset of humanity. This I can already taste the mustache wax. It's terrible. Mustache wax and penny farthings and membership rings with accordions on it. And you told me they're having a button making party.
I told you that in confidence. Off my
socialist. A socialist button-making party.
It's now, I will wear a socialist button, but I shan't make one.
That's what capitalism
is for.
Fucking
Winston Churchilling it up in here.
I know.
Never.
Oh my god. It was Remembrance Stages this weekend, and I ran into a woman at the Legion who I knew, and she looked just like Winston Churchill from The Crown. Like, she was bent over her cane, and like, jowly, and very like, she was like, I live in India now, and in India I can live like a queen because it's so cheap, and I have people that they scrub the tiles at my feet on their hands and knees. They're so clean there. I'm like,
your colonialism.
Oh my god, holy Christ,
she's wearing a hoop skirt.
It was awful. Mm-hmm,
holy Christ.
Hoop skirts are the only thing to fit all the scrubbing slaves under, to
yeah,
be fair.
It's just like, why does it get clean everywhere you go? Are you like a Roomba? I'm like, no. Human trafficking.
Cheers.
Cheers. There are 4 children under my skirts right now. Sounds rude, but it's I'm just exploiting them in a different way.
They're very diligent.
I just really love doing that accent so much.
Yeah.
Speaking
oh,
of posh twat.
So I've hit a delicious nerve. You just hate the pretension of everything.
You hate quirk.
Yeah.
What's that?
You're anti-quirk.
I enjoy a bit of quirk, but when somebody makes it entirely their own life to be nothing
but quirk. A substitute is a personality.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ,
yeah.
You absolutely never are allowed to see my denim vest. Tell you what. It's very bad. I got a bunch of new patches for it recently.
Oh, good.
So mine, it has
How many of them have an anarchy sign?
None of them.
Oh, okay.
I'm not an anarchist. Mm. I am definitely not an anarchist. I'm sort of like just a
Some order and structure is good.
Yeah. I'm just sort of like a socialist little bean.
I'm pretty sure not anyone who does wear an anarchy parch is an anarchist.
A parch.
A parch.
A panther.
I'm very good at word combining.
A panther.
Parch is a combination of the word patch and parch.
Parchy. So yeah, it's got a Hufflepuff crest on the back that I painted with my own hands.
That's pretty cool.
You're like, well, if it's dorky, it's okay.
Oh yeah.
If it's Harry Potter related, it's fine.
Well, it's because I don't like. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because it's more in line with what I like, and I don't like what other people like. When other people like things that I don't dislike, but aren't indirectly in line with what I like, I'm going to dislike those people.
That's totally fair.
Because I'm not a fan. I never got to play the accordion, and I'm just super bitter.
So mad about
it. I didn't get a membership ring.
It's never too late. I can introduce you to 5 accordion teachers.
I will already hate them all. That's already in my brain. It's already too much in my brain.
It's like how I made some joke about how Chris could easily figure out 3 euphonium players immediately. She's like, that's about exactly the right amount of euphonium players.
What's a euphonium?
It's a baritone.
It's a baby tuba.
Yeah.
It's a baby. Oh, Jesus.
It's like if a tuba had a baby with a French horn.
Does it still wrap around the body?
No.
Aw.
No,
only if you've had a terrible, terrible accident. And then it's really bad. They're like, whoa, ooh, marching band had a van accident. It's real bad. Sorry, this stupid vest that I have. Hufflepuff on the back.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, like, merit badges for, like, reading and cooking and stuff. And birds, just birds. Not even watching them, just, do you like birds? Yes, merit. There you go.
Did you buy the merit badges?
I earned them.
Pay the gold or iron price for your
the
merit badges.
Price for my merit badges. But I got a new patch that's just the it's, you know, the Ben Franklin snake or whatever, and instead of saying don't tread on me, it's just being inundated with bread products, and it says throw bread on me.
Oh my god.
This is like the perfect. But I got a card from I got a card in the mail from a human person this mm-hmm. last week.
Ooh,
which was really surprising to me.
Yeah.
And it was right around Halloween, and I was on the phone with my mom when I got it, and I opened it up while I was on the phone with her. I'm like, oh my god, my friend Megan sent me a card. She sent me a Halloween card? Is she this organized? This bitch. Was my line of thinking.
Uh-huh.
Was like, oh my god, because she sends birthday cards, Christmas cards, she's really good about that stuff, and I have an inferiority complex about it, because I'm like the card master.
Mm.
But she's ahead of me, so I'm like, this fucking chick.
Yeah.
Love her to death. But I was like, ugh, she's gonna show me up. But it was, you know what it was? It was a card that was like, you are so strong, and I love you, and you're wonderful, because she knew I was really sad, and she gotten me a patch from a party called Denim Vest, because that's what the queer girls do. And it is a silk screen of Deanna Troi, just her outline, and it says Fempath on it. Yeah, so it's like, this was made for me.
Denim Vest is a fun party. We should go sometime.
I've been invited to it a bunch of times, and I'm just like, ah, I don't know if I want to go to a party where a bunch of people are getting fingered around me. It's just sort of like, it's like a little too cool for me.
I never got invited to those parties either.
Yeah, you will never be invited to that party. I'm so sorry to tell you.
Damn!
You're
discrimination.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Sheena can come.
Do I not?
Your beautiful wife.
Oh, because I'm a dude.
Yes, that is the defining feature.
I
of
thought
the
it would
Best
just
party.
Be denim enthusiasts.
Yeah, I got a sweet Canadian tuxedo I've been waiting to roll out.
Yeah, exactly. People that enjoy
it. It was given to me on the day I left Dawson City.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
go forth, young son, and spread the word, spread the gospel.
Be well, my son. So you moved Jesus here when you were 18 years old, and you haven't moved back, and you just like went straight through your bachelor's and like a master's degree, you're a master of science now?
Applied science. It was master.
Applied science. Yeah. It sounds useful.
Two very different things. It was an engineering. Okay. Mining engineering.
So, beep, boop, boop, that's how you get gold.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Okay. Like, geology is like making a painting of the gold, and then the applied science is the beep, boop part of
the beep,
gold.
The beep, boop, like, take out that gold.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do, like, here, when it's not the summer? Like,
so
how
far,
do you...
absolutely nothing.
Is this why you have so much time to be good at comedy?
Yeah, essentially.
Fuck you!
Like, I might be getting a technician job coming up. I had an interview that went pretty well.
Cool.
I'd be doing IT for, like, a mining software that I learned to use while I was in school. And that would be an actual desk job.
Minecraft?
Exactly. Yeah, essentially Minecraft. That's all it is. I'm learning to use Minecraft for adults.
You look very satisfied. Oh, man. So, yeah, so that's that. Okay, that explains a few things. Mm-hmm. I was like, God damn him, why is he so good? I get furious. I think, and I'm not sure if I was with you, Chris, but I remember seeing, like, when did you start doing stand-up?
About 3 years ago.
And when did you first get on at Laugh Gallery, Graham Clark's show at Havana?
I don't even...
Because I think I might have seen you your first time doing it.
It very, very possible.
Because it was more than 2 years ago that I saw you.
Yeah, it was in my first year that I did my first set at Laugh Gallery. Okay. I can't remember exactly when.
Because I think we were at that together, possibly.
Okay. And I remember he did introduce me as like the as a first-timer there, so it's very possible.
Yeah, I think that was it. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's a pretty good clue.
Yeah.
But I remember you coming out and being like, your hands were really shaky, but the rest of you was totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was just right here, and then everything else was like super confident, good to go. And I really relate to that, because I like cannot make them be still when I feel fine.
Yeah.
I'm just like, people are looking at me.
Yeah. And like, my hands have always been my toe. And like my wife, Gina, she'll come out to the occasional show now. She used to be very supportive, and I've just worn her down over the years.
You do a lot of shows.
Yeah, it's hard with friends and family where you're like, come to this.
You come to
like,
so many of my things.
Well, because it's fun. Aww. And there's always...
You're a true good wife.
There's always different fun people that I get to see do comedy.
Like myself.
Like Gavin. So.
And my shaky hands.
See Gavin do a sweet rap.
Yeah, yeah, that me, was my a sincere delight.
Sweet rapness.
Yeah.
Exactly. But yeah, my hands have always been my tell. It's better now, but for
sure. Oh yeah, I don't notice it.
I can fake it, but if like, you can always see the nervousness in my hands.
I've started
really
to just like, because I used to just kind of wander around and like play with the mic, and now I just stand very still.
Yep, that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's like usually pick someone to look at the most. Mm-hmm. Usually someone I don't know, which unnerves them, or makes them a little nervous. But.
Best thing about comedy is staring someone down. That is point number two.
Yeah, because you're in charge, man.
Well, that's something I've only figured out in the last few months, I think. It's just kind of like, I'm out there. They're looking at me. They don't like, they're not, because I did a lot of open mics at first.
Yeah.
And no one gives a shit at an open mic. They're not looking at you.
No, it's just other comics waiting to go up.
Yeah, whereas an actual... show, it's like, they want you to be good. Yeah. They don't want you to do poorly.
No, they don't.
Which is kind of fun.
They're terrified that you're going to do bad.
They really want you to do well, because it's going to be awkward for them.
Yeah, they want to have a good time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, I've been trying to get on that show for a long time, but I just think Graham has not seen my requests at all. Because, like, I've talked to him a bunch.
You have? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I just, like, sent it on Facebook, like, in March, so.
Yeah, yeah, showrunners are busy. And, like, don't be afraid to ask again. The thing that I've always been, like, I'm always really socially nervous. Like, I'm socially terrified of everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm always nervous about, like, bothering them because I know they get a lot of requests.
Right.
But all I've ever been told is just, like, I saw it, I forgot about it, just send it again.
Yeah, it's
so
never...
don't be afraid to do that.
The only thing that really bothers me is when someone sends me the exact same message again.
Yeah, don't copy-paste. Don't be a dick about it.
And
put
then, but there's no more additional information. It's like, I've never seen you live.
Yeah.
You've given me no videos. Yeah. And all you said was, hi, can I have a spot? Like, mm-hmm. no. Mm-hmm. Often I just don't respond to that, but that just makes me feel very good about myself. I'm like, show running.
I'm above you.
Mummy. Papa said I don't have to message you back. But I don't know, I've been a bit shy about it lately, but I never get told no. Like, it's always just kind of like either, I'll get in touch, and then they get in touch, or it's like, do you want to go up tonight?
Yeah.
Like, fuck, I'll be there shortly. I don't like to say no same day, you know?
No.
Like, can I get a spot? Yeah, you want a spot today? Oh, not that soon.
Yeah. I didn't expect you to get back to me very soon. I don't have very high self-esteem.
That's exactly the mental process that I go when I do it. It's comforting to know that you've been doing it for 3 years, because I was like, this fucking guy, he's so good. Like, you were on the first One Hitter Quitter I did, and I lost to you. I came in second to you, you asshole.
And I won.
And you won. Yep. That's how just me so coming in second knows. To you works. Just
you
so
came
they know.
In second because I won.
Because you were better. And the same thing happened with Casey Novak, who you should probably really get on this show, too.
Oh, yeah, she was great.
She was really good. And, But, yeah, this new one, I came in third. So fuck you. You weren't the funniest. No. You also didn't have 35 friends with you at the show.
Steve filled that place out, and he's really good, too.
He's starting really funny. Yeah. I hate that even more.
No, I know, right?
He's been doing it less than a year, and he's already won, like, 2 competitions. I love that guy.
What about the process, Katie? What about just doing it because
of the
process?
Oh, no, I love them. This is truly no bitterness. It's absolutely meant as complimentary, like, way to do so well so quickly.
Yes, I know, I'm teasing you.
I know you're teasing me. But I also just want to really make it clear that I am not jealous of anyone's success. I'm like, fucking great. Thankfully someone did it. Like, good job you. And I hope that the same thing would be reversed if I was doing well.
And the more,
be like, great, good job,
Katie. The more awesome comics in Vancouver, the more awesome comedy shows we get to see. And, like, precisely. The more people will start coming out for comedy.
This is true.
Yeah, and I love it. I think it's really great. And I love your shit. It's really good, and it's always developing, and that's really the best thing for me. It's just watching people, like, grow their jokes.
Exactly.
Grow their jokes.
The
like yours went from, like, I've got a black girlfriend, it's really cool, to, like, oh, she's my wife now.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. That's, like, it's a real spoiler on some of your jokes. Uh-oh. The 8 people who listen to this are going to be really angry.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to ruin the whole bag.
The whole thing. One bad apple.
Oh, yeah, terrible.
Have you taken any classes, or is this just all...
No.
Just winging it. Like, what made you start? I know that's a boring question, but I'm genuinely curious.
Sheena's brother now my brother-in-law, his name is Sterling Scott, and he's...
that is the coolest name.
Isn't it just? Like, he was destined to do fun things.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
that
my
is,
God.
Yeah, and he's a professional stand-up comic in Alberta. And I met him when he was headlining at Laugh Lines a few years ago. And I'd been thinking of doing it. Like, I always wanted to give it a shot, and he sort of gave me some pointers to get started off. So that was kind of where it began.
Don't pee your pants.
Yeah, exactly.
Talk to the audience.
Yeah, exactly. Don't pee your pants was, like, very beaten in, because that's certainly a weakness.
It's like,
of mine.
So when at what point in the show do I pee my pants?
Yeah, exactly. How many minutes in is it acceptable? Like, when
and
how
so, like,
one
I just,
over?
Like, a little bit at a time? Like, just, like, really let it grow gradually? for them to be like, did he?
Yeah. Is he gradually pissing himself?
Is he very slowly pissing his pants?
I wish someone would do that now.
Some
I think
incredible
that's,
performance
that's
art,
like
honestly.
Cirque du Soleil level.
Like,
someone,
the amount of Kegel control you would have to pee your pants slowly.
It's like a teaspoon at a time.
Just like a teaspoon at a time.
Something you can't even notice the wet spot growing. It's just
like,
that
wait,
gradual.
Wait, what does it look like now? It's a butterfly.
Exactly.
It becomes just a Rorschach test.
A Rorschach test?
Yeah. The screaming shark test. You haven't seen that.
Isn't it Rorschach?
Rorschach, yeah.
No, it was just slightly
Thank
exaggerated.
You,
You're welcome.
Thank you. Look at
We're
this.
Just joshing. We're just playing.
Oh,
we're just bouncing things off each other.
Despite my insufferability, he comes to my defense.
Yeah.
So what do you say to that, best friend? Come on.
Yeah.
Fuck.
That's what I say.
She plays the accordion, and I still agree.
I do not play the accordion.
Right.
I play accordion.
Sorry, you played an accordion.
She owns
band.
An accordion that I gave her.
Ooh.
It was your dad's.
It was my grandfather's.
Okay,
oh, nice. That makes
God. It's
cool.
Like you don't even remember. Sorry, it's totally fine. It's totally fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know almost everything about me.
Okay, so but your brother-in-law did comedy, and then he.
Oh, he still does. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He is still very much alive and doing
so
things.
And so you were saying that you were thinking about doing it, and then you kind of... You
yeah,
saw
he gave me some pointers on, like, the basic stuff on how to get started off and where to go and who to talk to. Mm-hmm. And then I went on from there. And, yeah, and then this last summer was really good. I won the Laugh Lines competition. They sent me to Vegas, which was really fun.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Did you go to with Mark Bleuet, or...
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's his actual last name.
Mark Bleuet. That's exactly how it's spelled. I have no idea how to say it. It's like Bleuet in
Bleuet?
French with E-T at the end. Yeah, that'd be it.
Yeah.
Bleuet.
Oh.
So I went with him and his girlfriend and Jillian from Laugh Lines. We all went down together.
Is she the blonde lady?
Yes.
She's cool.
Yeah. She's a lot of fun. And I got to see, best part was waking up every morning in Vegas, and then I got to look at her pictures on her phone from before doing all the shit that I can't do in Vegas at all, like have fun or get drunk because it's too much money. So
we got. I was like, you got a real short leash or something? Like, oh no, I work 2 months of the year.
Yeah, exactly. I can't do any of the thing. And she, well, and like she's a young woman in Vegas, so doors open much easier for her. And she also had a friend with her, and so like,
I'll help.
Yeah, you're like, clubs are always looking for girls to get through. They're always looking, and she actually got to do something really neat, which was she got to be in a VIP booth because somebody, and these are $3,000 an hour. And they come, they don't even come with any bottle service. $3,000 just to sit down. Just to sit down.
You get like that's a studio apartment in New York for that.
Yeah, for an hour.
These are the things that I'll take all the quirk.
Yeah.
But like this shit pisses me off.
I know.
It's like, oh, you're like, I'm mad at both things.
Yeah, I'm mad at all of it.
I can be mad at more than one thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because one's more affordable doesn't mean it's any better or worse.
So she got, she meant to sit
you didn't
in
even
booth.
Have any gold, like, stuffed into the
no,
socks?
No, I didn't. I had nothing. And even, I feel like even in Vegas, if I just threw gold at someone, they'd be like, well, what am I going to do with this? I don't know what this
can
is.
Can this buy me a 4-foot-long alcoholic drink?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of insufferable, would anyone like a kombucha top up?
Oh, Jesus. Dang. I've never had kombucha.
Oh, you
before.
Will not like it.
Do you like ginger?
What's that?
Do you like ginger?
I can in almost promise settings? You
it's
will
like
find this disgusting.
Ale.
Okay,
just,
I'm going to use
give him
your
the tiniest little bit.
I'm using your comparison of ginger ale as a standard.
It's funky. I'm just telling you right now, it's like funky beer mushroom water.
God, wait a second.
That
sell
is
it.
A fantastic advertisement.
I love
your
it.
Funky beer mushroom
it's
water.
It's super good for your guts, which is why I like it. No, it's okay. I've had a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of
that's not as foul as I was anticipating.
No, I made it sound really bad, but it's kind of just like a bad non-alcoholic beer that I like the taste of.
That's actually very succinct, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like ginger beer a little bit.
Yeah, without the bite of the alcohol. I really enjoy it, but mm-hmm. it's an insufferable drink to drink.
It is.
The only thing we could really do worse is like a $20 big bottle of green juice.
That was cold pressed.
Yeah, no heat may be placed on these at all at any point.
No, it destroys the nutrients.
It does. Heat
I don't
want to
destroy
ruins.
The nutrients, Chris. I don't want to. I want them all there.
I actually totally almost bought myself a green juice today, but I'm off citrus, so I can't really.
Citrus,
so
definitely.
So no limes.
Yeah, no limes. Because they always put like lemon and stuff in the
that's
kale,
not green.
Spinach. But it's citrus.
Citrus lives in green. That's science.
Katie, you have to understand it's a blend of predominantly greens.
They put other things in it? This is garbage.
Yeah.
I'm furious.
I wanted nothing but lime juice, because that would be delicious.
That's green.
That would
juice.
Be delicious, actually.
It would be so tart.
Yeah,
that'd be like, terrible. Ooh, my enamel. Oh, my teeth hurt so bad now.
Okay, tell me more about this $3,000 VIP
booth. Oh, sorry.
Booth.
Yeah. So
sorry.
Got,
do they serve shots of cold pressed juice?
Well, she got. I only got the story from her because I clearly was not there.
Yeah.
But she, her and her friend got into this club, which they did have to pay tickets to get into. But there was this group of guys that had this $3,000 booth, and one of the perks of the booth is that a bouncer will come by and check on you and be like, hey, do you want girls in this booth? And they'll be like, yeah, that's fine. And the bouncers will go out, find girls in the club, and be like, there's these guys that just want girls in their booth. Are you okay with that? Is that something you want to do?
Yeah,
they're like, yeah, we want to sit down. This sucks. Our heels are enormous.
Oh,
that,
totally.
Exactly. That's why it's worth $3,000, because the dress code of most of the clubs, you have to be wearing high heels. It's not an option.
That's never
garbage.
Exactly.
That's never
I've never
garbage.
Had a design. Desire to go,
if
yeah.
you have flats hidden and you switch into them and the bouncer sees you, your ass is out in the street. Like, it's very strict.
For real?
I don't
real.
Want bitches to be comfortable.
No, I mean, don't at all. It's nothing but that.
Because then, they won't sit down in your booth with you.
Exactly. It's very well thought out system. So she got to sit down at this $3,000 booth. And I was like, how was that? Was it greasy? And she's like, it kind of worked out, because one of the guys started getting, like, she was, not like aggressively, but started hitting on her a bit, and she made it very clear that she wasn't really into that, and he wasn't really backing off, and the
right.
bouncers come by and check on you periodically.
Right.
So she's like, you guys cool? You guys comfortable? Because if the girls aren't comfortable, they won't want to go to booths, so they have a very vested interest in making sure that any girls they put in the booths are being treated well. So she mentioned briefly, she's like,
system.
Exactly. So she was like, she mentioned, she's like, this guy's kind of, like, getting a little bit on, it's not too bad, but, like, just the, yeah, it's a little bit weird. He's like, all right, I'll be right back. Came back a minute later with 5 other bouncers, pointed at all the dudes in the booth, who were like, yep, you need to leave now.
Holy
she,
shit.
Yeah, and she got to chill out in that booth for the next hour, because it was paid for, and drink the bottle service. So I thought that was a decent payoff.
Fuck,
like,
yeah. That surprises me that they, like, went with, like, a Canadian chick.
Yeah.
Like, her word over, like, the guys spending $3,000 plus
yep.
to be in there.
Yeah, it's a very, very firm thing. Because
good
they,
lord.
Huh? Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, that's so crazy, because like, oh, bottle service, that's just a thing you get if you're there. And I'm thinking like, oh, the other night I was mad at myself because I went to the beer and wine store to buy a Mickey of vodka. So I paid $17 instead of like $14 for it. What a fool I was.
Yeah. How terrible of you.
I don't think Vegas is my place. Mm-hmm. No. I don't think that's a place I could go.
You can drink cheaply if you're smart about it, because there's a lot of... smart. Yeah, you can drink outside in a lot of places.
Okay.
On, like, the Strip and on the main...
I'd rather just go to New Orleans for that, I think.
Oh, okay. Can you do outside drinking in New Orleans?
Boy, howdy, can you?
I think they have, like, the drive-through, like, alcoholic slushy bar or something.
Well, they fully have, like, you know, I said, like, a four-foot-tall alcoholic drink. You get, like, a hurricane in a plastic cup that's... I'm doing a gesture you can't see. Sorry. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, 2.5 feet tall.
Yeah.
And it's just full of slushy that's just, like, full of alcohol. And it's so... God, the amount of sugar that has to be in there. Like, and the amount of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I think Katie, like, if we ever went to Vegas, we'd be much more of the, like, let's go see shows and go to buffets and, like, drink the drinks rather than go to clubs.
If we just get drunk in the hotel room and be like, what's on the TV?
Yeah. that was most of my weekends.
You know, I've never really been a club person.
Me neither.
So
Unless it's a vampire club.
Well. Don't tell him even more insufferable things about me. This is when I was young. This is when I was a teenager.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that's
and also I was in Vampire Club too.
Obviously.
Just, first rule. Shit, I broke it.
I know. That's, God damn it, Kate.
So I'm very bad at all the rules. I just break all the rules.
That's why you're not allowed in Vampire Club anymore.
Yeah, I got kicked the fuck out.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back from
hard out there for a vamp.
Fuck. I got my vamp stamp.
Does that go exactly where I imagine it goes?
Yeah, right here.
Right on the pussy.
That's exactly what I pictured.
Oh, that's good fucking
Oh, you guys.
I wanted to share one thing that came up this weekend with my mom. So she is starting to do storytelling competitions.
Cool.
The Moth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Which is very cool. But right now she's like reading other people's stories. It's like a performance thing, also a dramatic monologue. But she was like, so I want to go to this open mic at the Roberts Creek Legion. And I'm like, I wonder what that's going to be like.
Interesting.
Roberts Creek, very small town, very like all the hippies that were draft dodgers moved there kind of thing. And it's just like a big culture of lots of like, yeah. And a lot of like people my age have moved back there and are kind of like just super stoner burnout kind of folks. Sorry. Oh, yeah. But like, so I went to the open mic and it was just a guy with a an out of tune guitar and then a guy with a djembe that he couldn't play in time and then a didgeridoo. And they were all wearing like the tie and the tights and all that kind of stuff.
A didgeridoo.
And so, but my mom was like, I want to do this. I want to read my story. I want to be brave. And so it reminded me, Katie, of yours. Like, someone calls you. It's like, oh, I want a spot. Oh, can you do it today? And you're like, but you don't want to say no. So my mom went up to the woman running the mic and was like, oh, can I go up? I have a story to share. And she was like, great. Okay, go up right now. And my mom was like, what? Are you kidding? But then she just did it. So fearless.
Good on you, Jill.
So fearless. It was lovely. And she read a story, like, about World War II. And, like, the guys before, like, doing their weird psychedelic, like, out-of-tune shit were, like, rapping about, like, bombs and, like, Syria and whatever. And then so she, like, read the story about a bomb.
Beat poems?
Beat poems over terrible beats.
To
like,
a with, didgeridoo.
Yeah, with no rhythm.
It's a real didgeridoo.
Yeah, it was the saddest. But then, like, they loved her story. They were, like, really supportive. They were like, oh,
nice.
It really made us think, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, what a nice experience.
She's, like, the most open-hearted, lovely lady.
But I just thought that was cool. I also don't know how I would have reacted if the person was like, oh, I want to go up and do a song. Okay, how about right now? It's like, I wanted a moment to process that and sit down and watch some stuff before I go up right away.
And
like,
prepare.
But if you know what you're doing,
yeah,
if you already knew what you're doing, just go. It's fine. That's something that I've definitely picked up from stand-up comedy. It's just like, okay, we're doing this now.
Trust yourself.
It's just like, just keep putting one foot in front of the other and try not to, you know, like, stall. Like, you just keep going. The momentum will take you pretty far. And you've memorized a lot of things at some point. Yep. Like, that happened to me while I was hosting at Big Rock,
because
it was the first time I'd ever hosted. And this is something I'm still kind of new to, where I, like, had an idea of the things I wanted to say. And then I just got distracted by all the people I knew and could see. And then I was like, shit. But then I just, like, pulled jokes out of my head. I'm like, I didn't plan to do this one, but I'm going to do this one. But it's going to be out of order. Maybe people are going to know. And no one knows, obviously, because nobody, like, saw my script beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of just like, hey, if you go and do it and aren't terrible, people are very impressed.
Yeah.
Kind of, which is great. not a room full of comics, maybe, which is why it's great to do shows that are not open mics. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, the most important part is to, like, trust yourself and always remember you're already better than Robert Service. That's the main
takeaway for this entire podcast, I think,
you're
like...
better than Robert Service.
And he's dead, so, like, yeah. You have so much potential to, like, really just dunk on Robert Service.
Yeah, that's all anyone in the arts is trying to do, is be is better
our,
than him.
Is that our title for this episode? Dunk on Robert Service?
Please do. Tired of him being the emperor of the Yukon.
It's gonna be you, Gavin.
Yeah, you've got
you got a real shot at this.
I'm really planning on dethrone him.
Yeah, I'm gonna make my own kick book of shit poetry.
Kick him off his dumb snow throne.
Yeah, exactly. His dumb
pour
icy snow throne.
Pour a sour toe cocktail on his face.
And precisely. That's
wait, is that
what
Way
he
Horse?
Deserves. Dawson has a sour toe cocktail. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not that insane.
Just proximal to insanity.
Yeah, most of the drinks in White Horse don't have a corpse piece in it, which is nice. And that's a positive aspect. Most.
One of them might accidentally get one in there.
It's a non-zero amount, though, is what you're telling me.
Well, yeah, like, kitchens have accidents, and then, you know, what do you not...
every pork chop were perfect,
exactly.
We wouldn't have hot dogs.
Sometimes a finger ends up in a drink. That's all that happens.
Sometimes.
It's a good way to propose to someone. Finger with a ring on it.
God.
In a drink. Because then they won't swallow the ring. Because it's.
Oh, then they'll be like, oh, did you murder this person for my ring? I guess I'd better marry you. It's a great way to ensure a yes.
Yeah, they're not going to say no to the finger in the drink. That's a great. As a married man.
One in the pink, a finger in the drink.
Yep. That's how you get a lady to marry you.
Just ask you.
Yeah.
You did it. Good job. I think that's going to do it for us this week.
Yeah, with that nice...
disgusting sort of, image.
Yeah, but the encouraging, you know.
Yeah.
Is that you can get someone to love you, and you're better than Robert Service.
Exactly.
Anything else that you
want to add? Oh, I don't know.
That's a lot of pressure.
I'm just Gavin Clarkson. You can find me on my Facebook page at Gavin Clarkson.